25th Annual Willamette Valley Ag Expo at the Linn County Fair and Expo Center, just off I-5 at exit 234 in Albany. Show hours are Tuesday 9 to 6, Wednesday 10 to 8:30, Thursday 10 to 4. Parking's free. More information online at WVAExpo.com.
98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. It is 8:04 in the morning, Mid-Columbia Today on a Tuesday, 28th of October. Thanks for joining us this morning. Here's what we're doing this morning. Tamara Tappel's with us, Mount Adams Chamber of Commerce. White Salmon's got a whole bunch of Halloween stuff going on Thursday evening. Or Friday evening, actually, I guess it is. I messed up because my football's Thursday evening this week. So my regular week schedule is just absolutely messed up right now. But it is Friday night Halloween. That's why the football game was in part is Thursday night. Did not have to mess with Halloween on Friday. But anyway, Tamara is here. She'll straighten me out. Mayor of the Dalles, Rich Mays, joins the second half of the show. They were busy last night. They actually had a four-hour meeting last night. No, I did not take it all in. I caught highlights this morning. We'll talk about dog ordinance. We'll talk about a business ordinance possibility. Both of those were on the agenda last night. No action taken on either one. And we'll talk also a little bit about they've got a community meeting on Thursday evening about a number of different downtown projects and what it's going to do impacting, I'm sure, traffic, roads, and all those things. So all that is coming up. But first, as we always do, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means at least to some people. And this day in 1886, the Statue of Liberty, a gift from the people of France, was dedicated in New York Harbor by President Grover Cleveland. 1919, Congress enacted the Volstead Act, which provided for enforcement of prohibition. 1936, President Franklin D. Roosevelt rededicated the Statue of Liberty on its 50th anniversary. 1962, Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev informed the U.S. he had ordered the dismantling of missile bases in Cuba. In return, the U.S. secretly agreed to remove nuclear missiles from U.S. installations in Turkey. In 1991, what became known as the Perfect Storm began forming hundreds of miles east of Nova Scotia. Lost at sea during the storm are the six crew members of the Andrea Gale, a fishing boat from Gloucester, Massachusetts. 2001, the families of people killed in the September 11th terrorist attack gathered in New York for a memorial service filled with prayer and song. 2016, the FBI dropped what amounted to a political bomb on the presidential campaign of Hillary Clinton when it announced it was investigating whether emails on a device belonging to disgraced ex-Congressman Anthony Weiner, the estranged husband of one of Clinton's closest aides, Huma Abedin, or I don't remember how you pronounce your name, it's been a while now, but anyway, might contain classified information, the phone. This day in 2021, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg said his company was rebranding itself as Meta. 2022, Tesla CEO Elon Musk took control of Twitter for $44 billion. Don't think it's worth that much now. And in 2022, Paul Pelosi, the 82-year-old husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, was attacked and severely beaten by an assailant with a hammer who broke into their San Francisco home. Our days for today, we don't have much today, but it is National First Responders Day today. It's also International Animation Day today. And it's Plush Animal Lovers Day today, or stuffed animals, as we probably more likely are to call them. Our food for today, it's Wild Foods Day. So anything you're picking out there, just make sure it actually is food and is edible. Please. And finally, and maybe a little more safely, it is National Chocolate Day today. One of the many chocolate days that end up on this calendar, but today it's National Chocolate Day. So there you go for what it's worth. May not be a whole lot. 8:08 in the morning. Tamara Tappel joins us right after this.
I'm Silas Norman. Kidney disease is devastating the Black community. We're more likely to have diabetes and high blood pressure, the leading causes of kidney disease.
I have diabetes.
I have high blood pressure.
And we're more likely to have kidney failure.
My mom is on dialysis.
Black people are four times more likely to be on dialysis, yet we're less likely than other groups to get a kidney transplant. As Dr. Silas Norman, a kidney transplant physician, I can tell you that 90% of people with kidney disease don't know they have it. and every day about 12 people die waiting for a kidney transplant. But kidney failure is often preventable. Talk to your doctor about your risk for kidney disease. Insist on getting your kidneys checked regularly, especially if you have diabetes or high blood pressure.
We're the American Kidney Fund. We believe in kidney health for all. Visit kidneyhealthforall.org. That's kidneyhealthforall.org.
One in four Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at EasterSeals.com.
It's time for the excitement of Hood River Valley Eagles football. Stay with 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and online at GorgeRadio.com for Eagles football all season long. The Eagles on KIHR are brought to you by Hood River Supply, Brown Roofing, Hood River Valley Parks and Recreation, and Hood River Les Schwab Tire Center.
The Eagles host Park Rose Thursday at 6:30 on KIHR.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM, and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
Tamara DeBell's here from the Adams Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning, Mark.
Well, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, Halloween and white salmon, you guys have got a lot of stuff going on here.
We do, Friday night.
How long has it been doing that? Because it's been going on for a while. Yeah, it is Friday night, by the way. I am aware of that. Yes, well, that's okay. I'm the one who messed it up in the first place.
So Okay. We've been doing this since, I'm going to say about 2015, mm-hmm. possibly. It really started with community partners being in charge of a rather small little Halloween haunted house kind of thing. And mm-hmm. some of the businesses would open up their stoop to trick-or-treaters and stay mm-hmm. open late and that kind of thing. But it's really blossomed. We've grown it.
Yeah, I think it's something that I think families appreciate rather than you used to go door-to-door, house-to-house, all that that we used to do. This provides a little more varied opportunities to do things and not have to go around house to house.
That's it. I mean, there's a lot of dark neighborhoods, quite frankly. And if it's rainy, the visibility, it's just so much safer to kind of have a concentrated area. We're really lucky the City of White Salmon has sponsored the closure of Jewett, our downtown street. And that just makes all the difference. Mm-hmm. The kids are able to like run around and cross the streets, and there's not the parents don't have the stress of stop, watch for cars. It's just an open space where they're really kind of nestled in amongst the businesses and everything that's going on there.
So let's start first of all. I mean, you've got the basic trick or treating going on.
We do. And so again, that street is going to close at 3:00. Just good to know if you're someone who travels through downtown White Salmon that on a normal, mm-hmm. You're going to have a detour. But from 3 to 7, the street will be closed. So there'll be trick or treating as soon as really the kids get out of school. They'll mm-hmm. probably have to go home and change and whatnot. Right. But we're going to start lining up for a costume parade around 5:45, and then that'll start at City Hall, and it loops down towards High School Pharmacy and just kind of does some rounds so people add in as they mm-hmm. get there. It's a lot mm-hmm. of fun to see the parade of costumes and what everybody's mm-hmm. wearing.
Yeah. So you got the trick-or-treating from 5 to 7. Mm-hmm. Even though it sounds like they start earlier
they
on this.
Potentially.
But potentially. So you get how do people enter the costume parade?
They just join in. They just have to be there. Come to downtown White Salmon. And again, we'll start the cluster sort of at City Hall. The street will be wide open. It'll just be pretty obvious that there's an event of mm-hmm. people getting ready to, and then we'll just loop down. Mm-hmm. There'll be a leader. I don't know what the right word is there, but.
Well, I mean, there's always I don't know if a grand marshal is the right word here either.
Right?
Yes. But someone takes the first step.
That's right.
So someone will be out there and leading everybody down. And, I imagine there's a lot of fun costumes that get involved here.
Absolutely.
For the kids. Now, you've also got, there's trick-or-treating in the businesses, and there's trunk-and-treating which is in a parking lot.
Right up Church Street. So kind of in the mid-zone of our Jewett downtown area is a little side street, and it pops you right up to where it's the Mount Adams Elks Lodge, and then just north of them are Gardner Funeral Home. And both of those parking lots are going to host a trunk or treat. Mm-hmm. The Gardner Funeral Home is going to, in particular, be doing a clothing and blanket drive for senior citizens. That's their favorite audience, mm-hmm. really. And there are a lot of seniors who end up in assisted living or different things, and they're the clothes that they've arrived with are the clothes that they have, and nobody's mm-hmm. taking them shopping or bringing them new things. Yeah. And so it's a nice way to kind of take care of some of those people.
So that's going to take place during that trunk and treat event. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And people can bring, is the old new or gently used.
That's right. That's
right. Clean.
Please.
Coats, blankets, I believe.
Yeah.
It sounds like if it's something that they'll keep somebody warm, they want it.
Yeah, and really it could be anything. I mean, senior citizens, a lot of time they're fairly housebound, so it's not necessarily just mm-hmm. outdoor warmth clothing,
sure.
but, just snugly warm things, new pajamas, I mm-hmm. mean, whatever.
So the trunk and treat, if someone wants to participate in that beyond mm-hmm. That wants to be a trunk.
Yes.
How do they do that?
I think that the Elks Lodge's mm. members are going to take care of their own parking lot.
Okay, yeah.
But the Gardner Funeral Home parking lot mm. will have availability for people who maybe just want to come into town. Maybe you live far out and don't have trick-or-treaters, but you'd right. love to have mm-hmm. be a participant. Then that's the place to show up.
So we got trick-or-treating. We got trunk-and-treating. Then you've also got a festival of light.
Yeah. Well, we're really lucky that Grace Baptist Church members have been hosting this for quite a few years, and it's really family fun oriented. It is the softer side of Halloween, if you will. But they just have all kinds of games, carnival type games, okay. and really sort of those old fashioned sort of fall festival type of things that you'd expect.
It's the old Halloween carnival. We used to have these when I was a kid.
Yes, exactly.
In the schools in Eugene and Medford. You had the Halloween carnival. And so you can get, where again is that going to be?
That'll be in the parking lot of Columbia Bank and Bubba's Brew, just right there by our grocery store. And so it's very obvious. All of these are within really a 2-block radius of walking.
So everybody can just walk to what they want to do
mm-hmm.
and enjoy this. And again, this is open to everybody. Everybody can take part in it. Obviously, the trunk or treating, that's for kids. This is a kid event.
It is, but it's family. I mean, we see a lot of adults that come out in costume, and I highly encourage that. And I would just say, even on the trick or treating, because of the location of all of this, our assisted living, senior living, I guess it's not really assisted, but senior living is Beth El Shalom.
Mm-hmm.
Those seniors love to have trick or treaters come to their doors. So please, mm-hmm. parents, run your kids through the Beth El Shalom loop and make those seniors happy.
Mm-hmm. So you got plenty coming up then. For Friday night.
We do. There's going to be a lot going on. And even beyond the trunk or treat, maybe someone doesn't want to do that. But if you just want to bring a little folding table and hand out candy from one of the empty spaces along Jewett downtown, that's open as well.
And again, Jewett Boulevard is going to be closed 3 to 7,
I think
you said on Friday.
Correct.
To accommodate all this. So keep that in mind if you're driving out and about on Friday evening up in the White Salmon area. We got a few more minutes here before we get away. We are headed to the holidays, which I don't usually like to talk about.
It's kind of early for that.
Yeah,
but
I know you're planning some stuff. I know you guys have your big event in December.
We do. We have the first weekend in December that we've always done our tree lighting and the lighting of the menorah and had, s'mores where we make the fire pits with s'mores, and there's mm-hmm. cookies and cider and all that good stuff. Now this year, it really expanded to White Salmon Village Lights. Mm-hmm. And we don't have necessarily everything firmed up yet, but we're looking to really make that whole day with the fun run in the morning to open houses and things in the midday. Mm-hmm. The White Salmon Library will once again do their wassail. Friends of the Library does that in the mid-afternoon, right before the lighting and the cookies and stuff. And then we'll have a few more things after that, so people can continue to mill around in downtown and there'll be more activities to keep them there.
That sounds fairly, that's fairly expanded from what in the past.
It surely is.
So, what would you say the first part was that you're going to do?
A fun run in the morning.
Well, okay, the fun, yeah, well, yeah, fun run.
But then open houses and specials okay. among the businesses, just kind of something all day long.
I always find the concept of fun run a oxymoron there, but that's well,
actually, I'm with you.
But speaking of running, actually, during the Halloween event in White Salmon, Clement Gorge Running Club has a run going on. They're starting at Whitson Elementary School.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually have that in our community calendar. That I think it's one of those Halloween runs where you put the spotlight on your
In the dark.
In the dark.
Okay.
Yes. And I don't know if they have anybody in costume chasing you around. I've heard of those. Where
I have a feeling some of those people will be in costume, if I had to guess.
Well, they do have a costume element too.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, if you're going to do this on Halloween, I think I think it's just required that you do that.
Yes. One last thing I have to throw out.
Right,
our weekend where we're doing the tree lighting, all of that happens on Saturday. But the one element we've added is that we're going to do a holiday wine event. It won't really be a walk because it'll be inside the Grange Hall.
Yeah.
But it's going to be very focused on Washington Columbia Gorge AVA wines.
Okay.
So the local wineries who are specifically focused on Columbia Gorge wines will be featured at this event. There'll be about 12 of them, and it's called Sip the Gorge. And so it's just an afternoon, Sunday afternoon event to kind of wrap up the weekend over there.
All right. I assume that's something that we have tickets sold at some point.
We do have tickets. We're selling tickets already for Sip the Gorge.
All right.
So
then you can tell people how to get tickets then. I won't hold it back.
All right. Explore White Salmon is a great website to check out for all the things that are happening in White Salmon and ways to connect.
But so Sip the Gorge is coming up I don't know the dates at this point. So Friday before the first Saturday in December.
I believe it's the 7th of December, but again,
I
don't have it right in front of me.
I kind of got November down. I don't have December. I mean, okay, there we go. Friday, December 5th is the first Friday
of
December.
So I want Sunday the 7th, yes, is Sip the Gorge.
So,
right? It is Sunday.
Oh, it's Sunday. Okay.
Yes,
I thought you said it was the day before.
Well, no. All of those other things are happening Saturday.
Okay, and then the next day.
Yes, Sunday afternoon, though, is just specifically the Sip the Gorge wine event.
So it is December 7th.
Yes.
When it's going to be held.
I'll get you more info.
I apparently need a calendar up here or something. I don't know. Well, I know everything that where I'm supposed to be in November for football. That I know. Well, I don't know where, but I know what day I got to be there. After that, the holidays are like just this blur to me that I have no idea.
Mark, you do a great job of keeping track of a lot of details. So
thank you. I don't know about that right now. I'm not sure because I have to get through Thanksgiving weekend. That's at this point in November. That's always my thing. And then once I do that, then it lightens up a little bit.
It's coming.
But again, White Salmon Halloween Friday evening. Starts at a little before 5. Actually, it sounds like the trick or treating for kids. But
yeah, join us.
Yeah, but you can stop out there and just have a good time. Tamara, thanks for stopping by. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. Have a great day.
8:21 in the morning on MCT. We'll come back in news and a little more right after this.
Morning, Zoe. Got donuts.
Jeff Bridges, why are you still living above our garage?
Well, I dig the mattress, and I want to be in a T-Mobile commercial like you. Teach me, Sildana.
Oh, no. I'm not really prepared. I couldn't possibly.
At T-Mobile, get the new iPhone 17 Pro on them. It's designed to be the most powerful iPhone yet and has the ultimate pro camera system.
Wow, impressive. Let me try. T-Mobile is the best place to get iPhone 17 Pro because they've got the best network.
Nice, Jeffrey.
You heard them. T-Mobile is the best place to get the new iPhone 17 Pro on us with eligible trade-in in any condition.
So, what are we having for lunch?
Dude, my work here is done.
With 24-month bill credits on experience beyond for well-qualified customers plus tax and $35 device connection charge. Credits end and balance due if you pay off earlier. Cancel. Finance agreement iPhone 17 Pro, 256 gigs, $1,099.99, and new line minimum $100 plus a month plan with auto pay plus taxes and fees required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data 1H 2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
If you have care experience and want to run your own small business, opening an adult foster home might be right for you. Provide 24-hour care for older adults, people with physical disabilities, or mental health needs in your home or home you rent. Make a difference by helping people stay independent and live with dignity. Visit oregon.gov/adult-foster-home to learn more. That's oregon.gov/adult-foster-home. Sponsored by the Oregon Department of Human Services, the Oregon Health Authority, and this station.
Chronic absenteeism is on the rise.
Sophia A. absent.
Julio M. absent.
These absences are often due to the absence of crucial needs, like food, transportation, and healthcare.
Olivia H. absent.
Preston L. absent.
But site coordinators from communities and schools connect kids to the resources they need so they show up prepared and ready to learn.
Jacob O.
present.
Visit communitiesandschools.org. Being present matters.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
A24 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We talked about White Salmon's Halloween stuff. We can tell you Columbia Gorge Toyota and Honda, they've got their trunk or treat 5 to 7 Thursday evening. They're going to do it the night before. In 1900 West 6th in the Dalles, they're going to have a bounce house, face paint, popcorn, cotton candy, and they'll give up prizes for the best costumes. Downtown Hood River is safe. Halloween is Friday from 4 to 7 on Oak Street. Oak Street is going to close to downtown vehicles. The Dalles Main Street trick-or-treat in downtown the Dalles. That'll be 3 to 5 on Friday. Lyle Activity Center, trunk-or-treat, 5 o'clock Friday evening. Judging of costumes and trunks at 6, they're going to have homemade soup and bread and complimented by cocoa and cider. I mentioned that that run, the Columbia Gorge Running Club Halloween Fun Run, is at 5:30 Friday in White Salmon. Meet at the gravel parking lot on the other side of Main Street from Whitson Elementary School. 8.5 miles of mostly trail with 1,500 feet of elevation gain. Bring a headlamp. Costumes are encouraged. Continuing the Trunk or Treats, Stevenson. Harvest Trunk or Treat, 6 o'clock in the evening Friday, downtown Stevenson. Park your car and walk down 2nd Street. So if you're looking for your Halloween stuff, if you missed any of that, go to the GorgeRadio.com website, click on the events page, because they're all there. And if there's anybody else who's got one, we can probably slide it in there somewhere. But you have to tell us. Whoops. To tell us first as I knock my microphone around a little bit. Boy, what a ball game last night, by the way, which I did not stay up for the conclusion of, by the way. Because if I did, I probably am not sitting here right now. Because the game did go from just a little after 5 o'clock Pacific time to just before midnight Pacific time last night. The 18 innings, Dodgers beat the Blue Jays 6-5 on Freddie Freeman's home run, the bottom of the 18th inning. They play again today at 5 o'clock. Dodgers up 2-1, with the question being, does anybody have anybody left to pitch? Because they got used quite a bit. Shane Bieber starts with Blue Jays. Shohei Ohtani starts tonight. He was on base 9 times last night. That'll be interesting. And the thing that'll be interesting is, now these guys get off to big starts, their teams are going to let them roll here because they have no choice. But boy, if we have any of these two or both struggle, I don't know how the bullpens get through tonight. I have no idea, because remember, they also play Game 5 on Wednesday. So, yeah, wow. It is quite a game last night. A lot of memorable moments. I watched for 10, went to bed with the audio on, and after 12, I really had to give it up at that point. And I went another couple hours after that. Through the 18th inning, where Freddie Freeman hits for the 2nd straight year a walk-off home run in the World Series. He did so last year, a grand slam in Game 1 on the way the Dodgers beating the Yankees. He's the first man ever to hit 2 walk-off home runs in the World Series. Ever. Pretty rare. And he's got 2 of them. But yeah, great game last night. Great ball game. If you did not catch it, Blazers won last night too. Beat the very shorthanded Lakers. No Luka Doncic, no LeBron James. But that's the way it works sometimes in that league. You take the chance when you get it, and they did. So they're now 2-2. Anyway, let's go to the news here, as we're just a little short of 8:30 in the morning. After over 2 hours in testimony and discussion, the Dallas City Council decided to wait to get more information before taking action on a proposed ordinance to require licenses for dogs and create a clear leash law. Counselors heard from veterinary clinic operators and their concerns about how they are being asked to provide license applications and other information. Counselor Ben Ring said he wanted to have a clear understanding about veterinary client information protections before proceeding. The proposed ordinance also contains a leash law provision that requires when a dog is off its owner's property, it's on a handheld leash. City Manager Matthew Cleave said they're targeting the December 8th meeting to bring back answers to council questions on the proposal. Senator Jeff Merkley, joined by 10 other senators, is asking the Congressional Budget Office to estimate the cost of President Donald Trump's order to deploy National Guard troops in U.S. cities. Merkley's office submitted the letter to the Budget Office on Monday, even as Trump's promise to deploy troops to Portland is stalled in federal court. The 11 senators who signed the letter, including Ron Wyden of Oregon, asked the office to calculate the projected costs of activating, deploying, and paying the troops, the operational costs of the deployment, and any additional or indirect costs associated with using the troops. Federal government lawyers on Monday acknowledged making two errors in sworn declarations presented to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on the extent of the federal officers' surge to protect Portland's Immigration and Customs Enforcement building. Robert Cantu, Deputy Director of the Federal Protective Service Region 10 that covers Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and Alaska, said that the region had to assign 115 Federal Protective Service officers from other areas around the country to Portland to maintain an operational tempo at the building since June. The new brief clarifies that 115 was the number of deployments, not individual officers sent. There's actually been a total of 86 Federal Protective Service officers sent to the building from other regions. In trying to clear up that mistake, the attorneys for the state of Oregon highlighted last week the federal government admitted another error. The government was wrong to state that it was undisputed that nearly a quarter of the agency's entire Federal Protective Service had been redirected to Portland due to the unrest there. The City of the Dalles beginning its annual Operation Clean Sweep to remove fallen leaves from area streets and keep them out of stormwater catch basins. The city says its goal is to pick up leaves promptly so they do not block the stormwater catch basins and before they freeze onto the streets. Citizens are asked to park off the street during street sweeper work hours of 7 to 3:30. Do not rake leaves from your yard into the street. Compost leaves at home or put them in your yard debris container for pickup. You can also put them in compostable paper bags and take them to the Dalles Transfer Station. During November, the Dalles Transfer Station will accept yard debris at no charge from its residential customers. Take bag leaves to the transfer station on 1317 West 1st, Monday through Friday between 9 and 4:30. Again, that's for City of the Dalles residents only. That starts in November. It is 8:30 in the morning.
Farmers, growers, anyone involved in the ag or orchard industry need to come to the 25th annual Willamette Valley Ag Expo, November 11th through the 13th in Albany. This is the largest ag exposition in the Pacific Northwest, with over 175 vendors offering the latest innovations in equipment, cost-saving ideas for your farm, ranch, orchard, or hobby farm. It's produced by the Willamette Valley Ag Expo Board, a nonprofit with a vested interest in your success. There's daily seminars and classes, including core credit pesticide training. Wednesday is FFA Day, and all 3 days, Oregon Farm Bureau members get in free. And bring your family Wednesday night for the expanded Oregon Dine Around that sells out each year. Ag Expo admission is just $5 and includes a $2 discount on the great featured lunch each day. The 25th annual Willamette Valley Ag Expo at the Linn County Fair and Expo Center, just off I-5 at exit 234 in Albany. Show hours are Tuesday 9 to 6, Wednesday 10 to 8:30, Thursday 10 to 4. Parking's free. More information online at wvaexpo.com.
Hi, this is Zach from Del Carpine Automotive. We're so excited to operate in our new location, just a stone's throw away from our old shop. A family-run business since 2003, Del Carpine continues to provide exceptional auto repair service for both foreign and domestic vehicles, even Sprinter vans. From simple oil changes to complex engine restorations, our experienced team is here to keep you safely on the road. Visit us at our great new location or give us a call at 541-386-3133. Del Carpine Automotive, family-owned and locally trusted.
When I grow up, I want to be a teacher.
Because when I'm a teacher, I can help kids to learn and chase their dreams.
PI, a defect of the immune system, affects millions of children. Early and accurate diagnosis and treatment give children like Sam a chance to achieve their dreams.
It takes a lot of caring teachers to make school fun. It took a lot of caring people to keep my dream alive. And now, because of them, I can be head of the class.
For more information, visit the Jeffrey Modell Foundation at infoforpi.org.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And welcome back. 8:33 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. The mayor of the Dalles, Rich Mays, joins us. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
All right. How are you doing today?
Just fine, thanks.
You had a lengthy meeting last night.
Yeah, once again. Yeah. Well, I just got back from flying in yesterday afternoon, so I was kind of tired from that anyway. Yeah, the meeting almost went 4 hours, and you probably know the one topic that dominated the discussion. So.
Yeah, I thought we'd jump into that. That's the dog ordinance revisions, and or really establishing a lot of things here. A lot of the discussion seemed, I didn't catch all of it, but a lot of the discussion seemed to revolve around what the city may be asking their veterinary offices to do in the area.
Yeah, that was, I would say, almost all the discussion. I expected more discussion about a leash law and about how many dogs a household can have, in the same house. But really, yeah, you're right. Most of the discussion centered around the veterinarians' concerns. I do feel like their concerns were met with a lot of, agreement. Mm-hmm. And I think after all is said and done, I think the veterinarians seem to be pretty satisfied with our response, and they seem to give an endorsement toward the idea of the measures that the city would like to take to control dogs in the Dalles.
Well, the impression I got from the parts I caught of it was, I think there's always the concern when you ask businesses to kind of take on a record keeping function, which is involved here. Regardless of what it is, and we'll get to a second topic that's similar to this. There's always a concern about that, and rightfully so, because you're adding duties to places that, you know, small businesses and, you know, their staffs are already usually have a fairly busy day. But also in terms of what they necessarily can provide, that was a question too, and I think that's part of the reason why the delay for, at least I got the impression, the delay for taking the action on this was kind of to get some questions answered as far as what the legal obligations of a veterinary office are in terms of the client records they have.
Yeah, that took up a lot of the discussion, and we certainly don't want to put a undue burden on our veterinarians who provide a great service for our community. But the concerns they raised are exactly what you said. There's not only a concern about the impact on their staff and the already, Dr. Davidson put it, they already have a lot of things going on that putting an additional burden on them, you know, kind of affects their workload. Yeah. Of course, and then the other issue, of course, is the confidentiality of the records. So I think the council was sympathetic to both those issues, and I think there'll be some tweaks to the original proposal that came through. And another part of the discussion is, where do we go from here? And, we had a discussion about whether or not we should bring this up at the goal-setting session we have next month. That was a very short discussion. Most of that was with the business license issue, but I think you're going to see us bring this back. Our next council meeting is actually going to be another month from now, which is November 24th, and the staff was concerned that they would be able to turn this around that quickly, so we may be looking at December 8th. So it will be coming back to the city council. It will be tweaked, and I was heartened by the response of the veterinarians that were there that seemed to endorse the idea of having this ordinance as long as their concerns were addressed, and I think they were.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned also, I'll be honest, I was surprised too, because I thought when I logged into this, I was going to hear a lot about the topics you mentioned, leash law, and I don't have it all in front of me, but the limitation on dogs on a property. That didn't seem to come up at all in the parts I saw, which again, kind of, I was a little surprised there.
Well, it did come up toward the end, and the issue became one of should the council consider voice control of the dog as opposed to requiring a leash almost at all times, except for, you know, in parks or, you know, the dog park. Right. And I don't know, the council didn't give much of a response, but it was a suggestion. Coming from Cannon Beach, I'm familiar with the voice control. I think that has some issues, but overall, it would be a way to loosen up the requirement that dogs always be on a leash, except for like open space areas. So, I didn't get much of a reaction from the council on that suggestion. So, I'm really not sure where that's going to go.
Mm-hmm. So again, we'll see this come back either November 24th or December 8th, I think was the date. I can't remember, but the first meeting in December.
That is correct. It'll be one of those two, depending on how quickly the staff can get this turned around.
So let's go to the business ordinance part of this. I'm going to admit I have not had a chance to watch this part yet here today. But in return with the business, first of all, what we're talking about here with a business license. What are we discussing here? What's the goal?
Well, I think almost all cities have business licenses. Why we don't have one, I'm really not sure. But over the years, it's been discussed, and over the years, it's been put off. Mm-hmm. And we had our economic development officer get up and testify before the city council, suggesting that it might be time for us to really seriously consider it. The goal would be to have a program that right now we our ability to communicate with businesses is very limited because we don't know what businesses we have in the city. So I think it's a value to know what businesses we have operating in the city and be able to communicate with them as the need arises. The other thing we have is most communities of our size, and we've done a survey, require a general business license and use the data for economic development and planning and public safety coordination. And I think that's also a serious consideration. This is not an item that we expect that's going to raise a lot of revenue for the city. That's not the objective at all. As a matter of fact, I would be very surprised if there was a business license fee of over $20, $25, say. I think it should be even lower than that. But where this goes, I think it's going to be coming up at the council goal-setting session next week as to where we go from here. And I would expect that there is pretty widespread support from the city council on the idea of having a business license. It's just how we're going to get it done. Not only do we have our economic development officer testify before the council on it, we also had a very spirited endorsement from our executive director of the Dallas Chamber of Commerce, who thinks it's a very good idea and thinks it would make her job a lot easier in, you know, tracking trends and doing the things that she needs to do to make the business community successful.
I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but well, I will ask you, when we talk about you using it for economic development purposes, well, I'm sure Jacob Anderson, your EDO, that's what he's looking at. But how does data like this, if you can accumulate, and I assume it's going to be pretty basic, it's just this business operates, here's what they do, and here's where they are. How does this assist in economic development efforts?
Well, we're getting data that provides us to form strategies and track business growth and trends, mm-hmm. Find, for example, address weaknesses and gaps, you know, especially maybe where our downtown is, better align incentive programs that we have through urban renewal and the city with actual business activity. Getting a database of licenses can serve as sort of a tool for when we want to write grants or recruiting other businesses and reporting things like that to, say, Business Oregon, et cetera. So, yeah, there's a lot of tools that are available from an economic development standpoint, I think, that would help Jake Anderson, who's our EDO, do his job better, and also the Chamber of Commerce. Mm.
And you also mentioned public safety. I'm racking my brain because Hood River discussed this many, many years ago, predating anybody who's in any offices at this time. And I seem to recall that it was, you know, the police and fire officials, maybe especially it was fire officials at the time, really were pushing for the business license. If I remember right, it this kind of gets to the knowing who where everybody is. So they had a database that if something broke out in an after-hours situation, they would know who defines the responsible property owner.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that didn't really come up very much last night, but it was mentioned. We have not heard from the fire district, but I would expect that. I think they were there at the first meeting where this might have been discussed a while back, and I would expect that they would also appreciate, sort of a registry of businesses, where they are and what they do. Exactly. And you mentioned emergencies. Yeah, that would be a good use for it.
So to cap this off here, obviously no action taking last night, but it sounds like this is going to go back. And the city council is probably going to go through this in their goal setting session and be able to flesh this out a little bit.
Yeah, it was flushed out. It was flushed out last night, as you put it. But I think it's going to get tweaked even more. And just judging from the reaction of the city council, I think five of the six were pretty supportive of the whole concept. And the only one that had a lot of questions about it and raised concerns, I think some of those concerns were addressed. And hopefully this will be something that has unanimous support from the city council.
Now, I assume in your administrative career, you've dealt with these before.
With business licenses?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was city manager in four different cities. All four had business licenses, and this is something I've been asking about since I've been the mayor, and it's always kind of just put off, and there's a lot more important issues that we've been dealing with over the years that I've been mayor, and I think it's time that we really seriously consider this and get it behind us and move forward, finally.
And our third thing on my list here today, and that is something that's coming up on Thursday evening. The City of the Dalles is going to have a community informational meeting. You've got three projects coming up that impact the downtown area. This is going to be a chance for people to come out and hear about them and kind of learn what some of the impacts might be.
Yeah, I would encourage people to come to the city chambers Thursday at 5:30 and hear about these selected projects. It's a very exciting time coming up in 2026. I'm expecting that the first street project, after many years of planning, will finally come to fruition. And we're going to be combining that project with the Federal Street project, which has been talked about for the years that I've been mayor, but finally getting off the drawing board. And we expect that project to happen in 2026. So those two combined projects together, combined into one project, will certainly be the focus of a lot of the discussion on Thursday, October 30th.
And we're really to that stage of when you're planning these projects of, you know, you want to see the outcome of it occur. But now we're to that point of, okay, how do we do this without impacting downtown, the business community, to too much of a detriment while the construction goes on? Because let's face it, construction projects are messy. That's what they are.
Yeah, they are, and we have to do whatever we can to mitigate the impact on the local businesses. Mm-hmm. I know Hood River just went through a project on one of their main streets going into town, and that took a while. But yeah. I don't think we're talking here about, Second Street, obviously, Third Street, those are very critical arteries that go through the downtown. And I think there'll be some minimal impact on that because most of the construction will be taking place on First Street between Union and Laughlin, I believe, and of course Federal Street with the plaza between First and Second. I might add, we're also going to be renovating the building on the Federal Street right away, the old transportation building, and turning that into some offices for Main Street and the Veterans Museum. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. You know, we have a lot of construction projects already going on West 6th Street, West 10th Street, which is, I think, a completion now. While I was out of town, I think that's pretty well done. East 9th Street, which had been going on a while, and East 12th Street, which is going to be wrapping up pretty soon. So we got a lot of things going on. Hopefully the citizens will be happy with the progress and happy with the outcomes, and I'm optimistic that that's going to happen. And hopefully all this makes the city a better place to live and work and play. So
the meeting is at 5:30 Thursday evening, by the way, at the Dallas City Hall, and I think there you can also watch that via Zoom as well, if I remember right from the stuff.
Yeah,
I got
that is
on
correct.
It.
I'm really happy about this meeting because I think over the last year, our staff has done a terrific job in outreach to the citizens, communicating what's going on in the city, and dealing with the whys and wherefores of all these projects that we're doing. So they've done a terrific job in outreaching to the citizens, and hopefully those efforts will be come to fruition on Thursday with a big crowd. So we'll see what happens.
And one more thing real quick we should mention for your Public Works Department. I know this is very important to them. Please don't sweep the leaves into the street gutters.
Yeah, please. Coming from the mayor. I know. Yeah, Public Works, again, does a good job of outreach of the citizens. So, yeah, please don't sweep your leaves into the street.
Thanks
for mentioning that.
They're doing Operation Clean Sweep. We just mentioned in the news. Also, if you cannot park where the street sweeper is, like, you know, trying, where it's going to be trying to sweep in those gutter areas, 7 to 3:30 during this event. They do appreciate it, because I'm chuckling a little bit, but at the same time, boy, you get some leaves that clog up a gutter in the wrong place, and you get the wrong timed rainstorm, you got a big problem.
Oh yeah, it's you do have a big problem, and mm-hmm. I've seen this happen in other places too. So, mm-hmm. yeah, we don't want any unnecessary flooding going on.
Mm-hmm. So the mayor of the Dalles, Rich Mays, with us. Rich, I know you had a busy day yesterday, obviously, so we will let you go and move on with things. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, Mark. We'll talk to you next month. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. It is 8:48 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. When we come back, I'll mention a little more about, you know, the Operation Clean Sweep in the Dalles right after this.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
In sports, it's the dream team. And if your car is out of warranty, there's a team for that as well. You, the driver, your mechanic, and Endurance to pay for the repair bills. I'm Danica Patrick. In the past 5 years, auto repair costs have gone up over 36%. And if your manufacturer's warranty is expired, you'll have to cover it all. With an Endurance Auto Protection Plan, no matter what the mileage, if your car is under 20 years old, Endurance can get you covered on the engine, electrical system, transmission, AC, and more. Endurance has plans for any budget. Repairs can be done by the certified mechanic of your choice. Plans cover 24/7 towing, battery jumps, fuel deliveries, tire changes, and lockout services. Act now and get the benefits of our elite plan, a $2,000 value at no extra cost. With Endurance, you can never pay for covered auto repairs again. So call now for your free quote.
Call 800-290-0497. That's 800-290-0497, 800-290-0497.
1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer. Early detection can save your life and your peace of mind. At Skyline Health, we offer advanced 3D mammograms read by a local breast health specialized radiologist, because expert eyes matter when it comes to your health. No referral needed, and we offer access for everyone. You care for everyone else. Now it's time to care for you. Call Skyline Health to schedule your mammogram today, because you're worth it.
It's time for the excitement of Hood River Valley Eagles football. Stay with 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and online at GorgeRadio.com for Eagles football all season long. The Eagles on KIHR are brought to you by Sinclair Stations in Hood River and the Dalles, Shepherd's, Bishop Sanitation, and Schlosser Machine Shop.
The Eagles host Park Rose Thursday at 6:30 on KIHR.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And it is now 8:51 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. On that Operation Clean Sweep again in the Dalles, because you should know this. It is important. They will be asking citizens to park off the street during street sweeper work hours, 7 morning, 3:30 in the afternoon. That's for the next few weeks. As those leaves are falling, noting some were falling in my yard, the big maple tree I have in my backyard is starting to shed the leaves, which means there'll be a lot of leaves for me to rake over the next little while, that's for sure. And do not rake leaves from your yard into the street. This goes along for everywhere, by the way, not just in the Dalles on this one. Don't do that. Compost leaves at home or put them in your yard debris container to pick up. You can also put them in compostable paper bags and take them to the Dalles transfer station. Now, during November, so it's not yet, but next week starting, the Dalles transfer station for residents of the Dalles only and only their residential customers will accept yard debris at no charge. Take bagged leaves into the transfer station on 1317 West 1st in the Dalles, Monday through Friday between 9 and 4:30. Again, use compostable paper bags. The Dalles disposal does not accept yard debris in plastic garbage bags. But also, a reminder, part of why they do this is not just to keep the stormwater catch basins from getting blocked up, but also they don't want the
the leaves to freeze onto the streets. They like to avoid that, too. Remove large sticks or branches from the roadway so they don't jam the sweeper, and clear storm drains in front of your house to prevent flooding during a rainstorm. Again, those are a couple tips that it's not just about the Dalles and their effort, but every place can do that. So, that's what you got right now, as far as what you're being asked to do at this time. So, important. Yeah, got to get those leaves raked up. Not the most fun chore in the world, but you do have to do them. My problem is it's a month-long event, basically. You know, the compost bin only handles so many leaves at once, so fill it up, put it out there. Tuesday morning, they take it, or sometime Tuesday, where I live. Then fill it up again on Wednesday, and just keep going back and forth with it for a while. I think I counted like 18 leaf bags, like the big leaf trash bags, for this one tree I've got. It's a beautiful tree. It just becomes a real pain at this time of the year. So anyway, that's what we've got. Do we have one more commercial break to take? Yes, we do. Okay, why don't we take it now? We'll come back and tell you what's coming up tomorrow, right after this.
Farmers, growers, anyone involved in the ag or orchard industry need to come to the 25th annual Willamette Valley Ag Expo, November 11th through the 13th in Albany. This is the largest ag exposition in the Pacific Northwest, with over 175 vendors offering the latest innovations in equipment, cost-saving ideas for your farm, ranch, orchard, or hobby farm. It's produced by the Willamette Valley Ag Expo Board, a nonprofit with a vested interest in your success. There's daily seminars and classes, including core credit pesticide training. Wednesday is FFA Day, and all 3 days, Oregon Farm Bureau members get in free. And bring your family Wednesday night for the expanded Oregon Dine Around that sells out each year. Ag Expo admission is just $5 and includes a $2 discount on the great featured lunch each day. The 25th annual Willamette Valley Ag Expo at the Linn County Fair and Expo Center, just off I-5 at exit 234 in Albany. Show hours are Tuesday 9 to 6, Wednesday 10 to 8:30, Thursday 10 to 4. Parking's free. More information online at wvaexpo.com.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
8:55 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're beginning to wrap up the program this morning, which means I probably should tell you what's coming up on the show tomorrow. And yes, I should. Yeah, Doug Roof and Tom... Well, I don't know how to pronounce your last name, Tom. I'm sorry. Tom Aspetarte from Braver Angels will be with us. This is the organization that has been around now for a few years in this area. And basically, they're promoting people of varying political beliefs actually like sitting down and talking with each other and trying to understand each other and being civil, most importantly. Most importantly. So we're going to talk to them about what they tried to do. I know they've got another meeting coming up next week and what's involved there. Also on Wednesday, Jill Catherine will join us. And we're going to talk about an event coming up in a couple weeks called Inspire. I mean, November 14th, I believe it is, at the Columbia Center for the Arts in Hood River. And we're going to talk about the event. It highlights women in leadership roles. So we'll do that on Wednesday. I don't have anything for Thursday or Friday yet, but I just sent out a bunch of invites. It's one of those things you start to scratch your head, and then you get a couple emails from people, and all of a sudden you've got plenty of invite opportunities. So I sent those out a few minutes ago, actually. Well, I guess about an hour or so ago before the show, before we went on with this particular program. I want to remind folks in White Salmon, Columbia High School Athletics Pink Week, to benefit the Skylight Breast Health Fund, is underway up at Columbia High School. The next event is a girls' soccer game tonight with Stevenson at 6 o'clock. And you can go there and support the Bruins and help Skyline Health Breast Fund with their efforts to provide breast screenings for those who cannot afford them, they're not covered by their insurance, etc. Also, they got one more event coming up with the athletics over there on Friday night. They'll host Stevenson at 7 o'clock in the evening for a football game. And they will be having Pink Week there as well. So plenty of activity going on there. And you're invited to take part in it. On the Halloween theme again, a reminder that tomorrow at the Dalles Arts Center from 4 to 5 for kids, it is Spooky Story Hour. They'll have silly, spooky stories, songs, and more. You can RSVP at thedallasartscenter.org. That is from 4 until 5 tomorrow is when that will take place. That is at the Dalles Arts Center. Mentioned a couple concerts as well on Saturday. Cascade Singers Fall Fun Concert. 2 o'clock Saturday, Zion Lutheran Church, 10th and Union in the Dalles. Admission free, but donations are accepted. Gorge Winds Concert Band performs its full concert where spooky meets spectacular. 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon at the Granada Theater in the Dalles. Admission free there, but donations are accepted. And now I'm done. For Cameron Eisenberg producing, I'm Mark Bailey. Talk to you again on Wednesday.
Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on local on demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
Today's Country, KIHR, Hood River, rebroadcast on